The Lord be with you. When my mother-in-law was 10 years old, her father came home one day with a shoebox. And he said, "Foo, this is for you." And inside that shoebox was a baby raccoon. You see, Lynn's dad had a friend who was a hunter, and he was out hunting one day, and he found a stump, and in the stump was a raccoon's nest, and there was just one little baby raccoon and no sign of any mom. And Lynn's family had a reputation for taking care of all sorts of animals. They had a big old menagerie in their house, everything from chickens to a donkey named Pete. And so this friend had given the baby raccoon to Lynn's dad to take care of it, and Lynn's dad had entrusted it to her. And what we hear in Jesus' parable today is another story about someone who entrusts something precious to others. It's a parable about a man who plants a vineyard, and he digs a wine press for it and puts a fence around it, builds a watchtower to protect it. And then the man who owns this vineyard, who built it, puts it in the care of tenants. He entrusts it to them to care for it while he goes away. And they do, just like Lynn took care of this baby raccoon. What she did is for three straight days, she bottle-fed it milk. And the baby raccoon would take all four of its limbs and wrap itself around the bottle, and Lynn would spin the bottle like a top and watch the raccoon whirl. And she decided to name the raccoon Rackerby after a town nearby in the Sierra foothills. And at first, they had Rackerby living outside in Lynn's little playhouse. But Rackerby was inquisitive, and it liked to follow Lynn around, and so it would keep sneaking into their house. And the mom was none too pleased by this, but one day they found Rackerby sitting on the toilet, using it like a toilet. Because apparently raccoons naturally relieve themselves in water anyway, and so it found an open source of water to use. And at that point, Lynn's mom just had to throw her hands up in the air and say, "Well, I guess it's potty trained. We might as well let it in the house." But on that day, Lynn's mom and dad warned her. They said to her, "Right now, this raccoon is a baby. But someday this raccoon is going to grow up, and when it does, it will be wild. And when that day comes, you will need to give him up, give her up." In the parable, the vineyard owner sends the tenants a similar message. He sends messengers letting them know that harvest time has come, and now they need to return to him the produce of the vineyard that he had created. Now, when Lynn's parents said, "Someday you're going to have to give Rackerby up," Lynn's response was to say, "We'll see." And the tenant's response is much the same. They said, "Yeah, we'll see about that." Except for emphasis, they beat up the messengers. They beat up the messengers because they said to themselves, "Look, we're the ones who are taking care of this vineyard. We should be the ones who decide what happens to it. We should be the ones who get to enjoy its fruit." In the same way, Lynn thought to herself, "Look, I'm the one taking care of Rackerby. I should be the one who decides what happens to Rackerby." And Lynn had decided they were going to be best of friends because this raccoon would follow her around everywhere. They would go camping up at Potato Patch on Highway 32, and they would bring Rackerby along, and Rackerby would follow Lynn around like a dog, or Rackerby would climb up on her shoulder and perch there like a parrot and go around for rides. And Lynn would catch minnows and pollywogs and put them in a barrel with water, and Rackerby would reach in and try to catch them. And sometimes, if Lynn was feeling mischievous, she'd give Rackerby an ice cube. And Rackerby would take it to the water and try to wash it before eating it. And then it would be shocked when the ice cube would vanish. What happened? But Rackerby was mischievous in her own right. Lynn's mom one day spent a whole day arranging their wood shop, filling jars with buttons and screws and pins and labeling each one, setting them carefully on the shelf. And that night, Rackerby snuck into the wood shop, and one by one, Rackerby would unscrew each jar and dump out all the contents and root through them. And then one day, some family friends came over, and they brought with them their baby, just a few months old. And they set the baby down in a back room for just a couple minutes, and the baby did what babies do. It cried and it fussed, and Rackerby took note. So Rackerby went to check out the baby, and the baby was kicking and flailing, and Rackerby just loved to grab things, and so Rackerby grabbed the baby's leg. And then the baby kicked. So Rackerby bit the baby. In the parable, the vineyard owner doesn't understand why the tenants won't give the produce that they owe. And so the vineyard owner thinks to himself, well, I'll send my son, because surely they'll respect my son and listen when he asks them to give what is due. But when the tenants see the son, they think to themselves, well, this is the heir. Let's kill him. And if we kill him, we'll get the inheritance, and then we'll get to be the owners of the vineyard. And so they do. We heard from the book of Exodus today the Ten Commandments, the instructions that God gave the Israelites who have just escaped from slavery and now need to know how to live in a free society. And the first commandment that God gives them is to have no God before God. And Martin Luther writes that from this first commandment flow all the others. If we can keep the first commandment, to have no God before God, keeping the other nine are easy. But if we can't keep that first commandment, we won't keep the other nine. And that's what we see in the parable that Jesus tells. You see, this vineyard was planted and created and owned by someone else. But the tenants, they wanted it for themselves. They wanted to be the owners of the vineyard. They wanted to set themselves up as God. And once they set themselves up as gods before gods, suddenly they can justify any action. They can justify coveting the vineyard for themselves. They can justify stealing from the vineyard owner. They can justify killing his son. Jesus tells this parable to the chief priests in the temple because this parable isn't about a vineyard. It's about God and what God entrusts to us. You see, God had entrusted to the chief priests in that temple God's kingdom and all God's people. But over time, the chief priests had come to think to themselves, we should be king of God's kingdom. And so we should be able to decide what's best for the people and do as we see fit to them. And what they will soon see fit is to kill Jesus, to kill God's son. But Jesus tells this parable not just to those chief priests. Jesus tells this parable to everyone who has something entrusted to them by God. Jesus tells that parable to us. To us who are sometimes tempted to think that we, and not God, should get to decide what we do with all that God has entrusted to us. Lynn, in her 10-year-old innocence, thought that she could decide who and what Rackerby was. And though her parents warned her that Rackerby was a wild animal made by God to live not in human homes, Lynn thought, I don't need to listen to them. I can decide. And she decided that Rackerby should be a pet, but that decision wasn't for hers to make. And as a result, a baby got bitten. Now Jesus, after he tells this parable, he asks the chief priests, so what do you think? What will the landowner do to these tenants who refuse to give him the harvest that's due, who kill his son? And the chief priests say, Well, the landowner will kill those wretches, and then he'll lease the vineyard to other tenants who actually give the harvest when it's due. And Jesus says, so too will the kingdom of God be taken away from you and given to people who bear the fruit of the kingdom. Now, fortunately, the baby survived, though to this day, the woman who's now an adult still has scars from where the raccoon bit her. But on that day, Lynn's parents had to say to her, we've waited too long. The time has come. Rackerby is a wild animal. It's time to give her up. And so they did. They gave Rackerby to the hunter who found her initially, and the hunter put Rackerby in a cage and used her to train his hunting dogs. But Rackerby was a clever raccoon and escaped and went and hid in the hunter's barn, and so the hunter came and asked Lynn to help him find Rackerby and get her out of his barn. And Lynn did. And she found Rackerby up in the barn, and she reached out for Rackerby, but Rackerby bit Lynn. And Lynn told me that bite, it didn't so much hurt her hand as it hurt her heart. Because finally, she truly knew that Rackerby was a wild animal, and that Rackerby had to live free. Now, Rackerby escaped again that night. But for months afterwards, Lynn would call out in the night, hoping that she would answer. And it wasn't until years later that her father told Lynn that just a few days after Rackerby had escaped again, that word spread that there was a raccoon who wasn't at all afraid of humans and would just brazenly wander into chicken coops. And so one night a farmer shot Rackerby. Everything in this world belongs to God. But God has entrusted some of it to us for a time, to care for it, to nourish it. But sometimes these things that have been entrusted to us, we grow so attached to them, whether they be a baby raccoon or the people that we love, or our time, or our money, or this whole earth. We become so attached to these things that we care for that we begin to think they belong to us, that we get to decide what their purpose is. When we do that, we set ourselves before God, and the things that we care for, they suffer, and we lose them. But God, everything that God makes is good. And when God entrusts it to us, God intends for us to rejoice in it and enjoy it. And so to this day, Lynn still has a soft spot for raccoons. She loves to see them out and about playing. And though she doesn't bring them home, much to her family's chagrin, she has from time to time been spotted feeding raccoons, once even giving one a red vine licorice and then playing tug of war with it. But even when she does so, she remembers the lesson that her father and her mother taught her, the lesson that Rackerby taught her, that these are wild animals. They need to be free as God created them. And so she honors her father and her mother, she honors Rackerby, and she honors God, and she lets them run wild, rejoicing at the memories she has of what was given to her to care for a short time. Everything on this earth belongs to God, all the life that is on it, including our own. God has entrusted that life to us for a time. May we care for it as God commands, rejoicing in its beauty, but ever ready to return it to its maker so that we may live long in the land that the Lord has given us. Amen.